And welcome back, everyone. We are talking with Sonia and Sherry about the film The Business of Disease. And we were talking a little bit here in the break, and I wanted to bring in our audience into this discussion as well, if you will, because this is very interesting. We're just kind of getting to the topic of where things are heading in the future when it comes to population control and basically infertility. And why don't we begin with you, Sherry, and just you can talk a little bit about what you heard about the Gardasil vaccine and how this, I mean, we've monitored this for a couple of years now in terms of how it was marketed to young, you know, young women, young teens. After a while, they started suggesting that even the boys should take it. And now you were saying that they're doing it to children or infants, basically, right? Tell us about this.
Well, we got an article about it, but I've been researching this for several years because when they want people to take a Gardasil shot, they go into the inner city poor that don't have any kind of collective voice, and to the rural populations. And I live in rural Ohio, where they're trying to force these kids to take these shots because the more shots they can get a percentage of these kids, the more money they get from somebody. But we started looking at the HPV viruses and looking at what was inside them. We went to the government database and decoded all of these in terms of frequency. Like vitamin A has the frequency of, well, it's A, I shouldn't have said it that way. Vitamin C has a frequency of F. So we've decoded all of these things by their genes, and we can go in and decode these particular shots, what's in the shots. Now, in some of these shots, there was actually bits and pieces of herpes. And when we began to decode these, a pattern came out that almost every frequency of these HPV viruses, except one, is associated with infertility. Now, there's two HPV 11s, and one of them is just Valium and relax you. It's a mood regulator. But every other shot, the one, there's two 11s, a 16 and an 18. Every one of them deals with reproduction. HPV 18 actually has the same frequencies of estrogen and testosterone, direct frequencies for reproduction. And HPV 16, they're going to see when they start opening up this data sometime 50 years from now, that calcitonin, the people who got HPV 16, actually have more cancer than the rest of them.
Yeah. Well, HPV, the papilloma virus, that's been a scandal now for many years from the start, pretty much, with the effects that these had on the young girls who got it. They collapsed and everything. And now to hear that it's associated with infertility, I'm not surprised. But what is the bigger picture here, Sonia, if we kind of switch over for you to a moment here? What do you think that they are? What's the objective here?
Well, I think that we've known for a long time, we've been hearing about this for years, about this whole population control, agenda. And it's not a conspiracy, well, however we define conspiracy. I mean, I think that it is a fact. I think that we have to understand that these people think in very bizarre ways. One, how many people are on the planet in their minds become an economic situation, as well as the fact that they just feel that those who are not contributors or those who don't measure up in terms of, you know, what they consider to be worthwhile should be rinsed from the planet. So I think that there is a whole thing going on here in the sense of why they feel that they need to reduce the population. And of course, as Sherry said, the reduction of the population is really based on the poorer communities, all of these areas where people don't seem to do well. They're not educated. They don't make very much money. They're considered maybe a drain on the system. So I think that this is what's happening. Then when you look at the Susan Coleman Foundation, you know that they've been the biggest supporter of Planned Parenthood. And mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, Planned Parenthood has its origins in eugenics. started by Margaret Sanger's, which was called American Birth Control League, ABCL. I think originated in like 19, I'm not sure if as far back as 1916. I think that's somewhere around there.
Yeah, you're right.
And that was to get rid of with these people that they consider, you know, breeders that are not good stock. And that eventually became Planned Parenthood. And you start looking at the history of this kind of thinking going back to Nazi Germany and even throughout history. There's always this fight to maintain, you know, the planet for the elite and keep a few workers. This belief that keeps going on and on. And so I think that, you know, what Sherry is saying, what she's reading, I don't think, you know, we should take any of these things lightly. And this is why it becomes important for us to understand how to keep the body at an optimum level. By one of the ways is to reduce the intake of pharmaceutical drugs, which interferes with the frequencies in the body. They totally interfere with how the body functions, which then destroys the immune system. If the immune system is shot, you can't really even fight off a common cold.
Yeah.
Which makes us all susceptible to pretty much anything. And that's just on one level, you know. And we haven't even talked about using sound waves. I don't know if Sherry has much information on that, but that's another weapon, you know, is sound. So everything is not necessarily going to be given to us in a manner in which we think in our environment, but sound, you know, it can all be converted to sound waves to impact us. Other thing I wanted to also point out real quickly, and I hope I have this correctly, but it's the origins of the the Breast Cancer Month. It's association with Zeneca Pharmaceuticals, which is a spinoff of Imperial Chemical Industries. They were really the originators of that. Yet this company is also known as having been a major contributor in the breast cancer issues based on the products that that they actually were manufacturing, and that goes from plastics, you know.
Exactly.
So there's a domino effect. Yeah, it's this chain. It's like they're all connected. It's scary.
Well, they are. Those people who are doing the scientific research and funding it in some cases, and, you know, okay, it's the same old usual suspects, but yes, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, et cetera, these are, I mean, they are behind the scientific dictatorship, as it were, and those are also the ones who are funding the distributors of the chemicals, just as you say. So they have the quote-unquote correct science about what the effects truly are. But then they continue with the behavior that they have. And then in many cases, they also set up the foundations that are supposed to fight against these diseases and you know, or just these effects that pop out of the blue and they have no idea where they're coming from when they actually have all the correct data right there. So people are really falling into the trap on this one.
It's like the thief that the robber that broke into your house and stole everything. Well, now we're going to turn around and hire him to be our security guard.
Yeah.
it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
There's some help going down with these decisions. There's somebody who calls themselves a patient advocate out there. Her name is Lisa Fayed. And she's saying in support of California, saying that 12-year-olds can get these vaccinations and they don't have to tell their parents.
Oh, great.
Now, this is a vaccination that can kill and did kill. So what people are not looking at, if the pharmaceutical companies thought this was a good thing, they would not be advocating that 12-year-olds go behind their parents' back and do something that's very potentially harmful.
Yeah.
So this is just
Well, ignorance is bliss. Oh, yeah. Well, the kids aren't going to be knowledgeable. So, and the parent, not that the parents are either, but obviously parents are going to question it a little bit more as to, you know, why they need to. Why does a 9-year-old child need to guard themselves in that manner, much less a baby? It's absolutely insane. And I think, wasn't there a situation where Oprah school in Africa where these girls were given this as well? I think so.
Yeah. I believe you're right. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And there was damage, you know, but then that got swept under the rug with the media. It didn't say very much about it.
Yeah.
Well, they go behind these kids' backs. In North Carolina, there's a program that if you get this shot, we'll give you an iPod.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's a bribe. They're bribing kids into this now, you know?
Yeah, and what kid from a poor area wouldn't say, oh, I just need to take this shot and I can get an iPod? It's only a little sting. They don't tell you what is down the road for you. They don't even know.
Well, that shows as well that this ultimately is not about money at the end of it. They have how much ever money that they will print, you know, that's not the question here.
Control.
Yeah, well, exactly. The question is about getting people sick and under, you know, subservient to their pharmaceutical tyranny. But, I mean, this extends further as well. I mean, as you alluded to earlier as well, Sherry, you talked about GMOs, for example. It's an onslaught from many different angles. It's not only on the, you know, that what we could perceive as being in the medical industry and health in that way. It's about the food we eat. It's about what we wear, the materials that we touch and surround ourselves with, you know, in our homes and everything else. It's like and when you combine all these things together, it moves into this area of you know, what some people have called the soft kill or the soft depopulation agenda that. It's basically unfolding right now with cancer and everything else being, you know, an epidemic pretty much at this stage. This is how they're, you know, knocking people off one by one, correct?
Correct. And you don't associate it with Fukushima blowing up today and 20 years later, you've got thyroid cancer. There's not an association there.
Yeah.
But, well, for the people in the know, there is, Dr. Apsley and some of these people who've dug out these statistics. But for the most part, you don't associate, you eat a piece of cake and you don't immediately have a piece of cake size of fat on you, or, you know, there would be a different reaction to all of this. That's why we keep that radiation software, the free radiation software up there for people 24/7. So they have an option.
Yeah. And I mean, yes, what you're saying, options, that's a ticket out is having options and to be educated on, I think, how the body functions, how the body works. So it's not just about, you know, what is being done, but if we keep hearing about what's being done and you don't do anything about it for yourself, you know, then there is no point. So everything that is being heard, I think people have to make a conscious decision in terms of how will I actually, how will I actually utilize this information? How can I use this information to better my life? And I think to keep realizing that the system is not there for you. The system it's not there to care about you. It's just a reality. It's just not there to protect you in that manner. It's going to be up to you as an individual to decide, you know, what approach you will take in terms of caring for your spirit, mind, and body in the end.
Yeah.
That's hard when the school people are instructed to say that if you don't get this shot for your kid, you're a bad parent. We're going to take you into jail. We're charge you with being a bad parent.
We're going to call the social services on you. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. And they have no legal leg to stand on, but they try to scare people into this.
Yeah.
NVIC, are you familiar with that?
I've
National
heard
that Vaccine
before.
Information Center.
Yeah.
It's run by Barbara Lowe Fisher. If people want good, credible, up-to-date information, NVIC, National Vaccine Information Center. Good people, good stuff there. They are so scared of these people that they went in and bought another, the government or somebody went in and bought a name similar to this that's a porno site. So
okay.
If they get the porno site, they've hit .com instead of .org.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's pretty what Sherry just said is really true. People are up against survival. And what you just mentioned is survival. You're going to do whatever you need to do. Your average little person is going to try to do whatever they need to do to, one, stay under the radar and to comply and to not get in trouble and to not have your child taken away. I completely see that they're up against all of these features. My son just took, they decided they weren't going to give the last two kids any shots. They did give them, I think three of the shots or something. But the doctor said, why? I mean, my son, I pretty much had a sort of an argument with him because he wanted my son to give the baby all those shots. And then he told him, he says, I give them to my kids. And my son was like, well, that's good for you.
Well,
you're
exactly.
Giving them to, giving them to your kids. But he was like getting upset because he wasn't going to give the child this 200 shots or however many these shots are.
Yeah. Well, and according to their, sorry to interrupt, Sonia, but according to their science, then the advocates of this, if they've given this to their kids, that should be the method by it's proven to work, right? So what do they worry about if someone else, hasn't taken the shot or not? Their kids shouldn't be affected by it according to their science, correct?
Absolutely. So I guess that's the question Sherry, is posing. There's a definite, you feel sensitive to those people that go, well, what do I do? And it is the fear tactic. Everybody's running scared. You've seen the Whoop and Cough commercial. That is such a crazy commercial. Have you seen it, Sherry?
I have, and they just don't tell you the truth about it. And they don't tell you the truth either, that if you get a certain percentage of your kids vaccinated, you get extra money. So we're back to money.
Yeah.
Well, interesting. I wanted to ask you, Sonia, as well, a bit about, what do you think is a good strategy towards combating the fear programming and fear imprinting that is going on? This is tactics that, we see in the medical establishment, in many other establishments as well, but much of this is targeting to the unconscious mind as well. So would you agree that it's with information and knowledge basically about what we can do, but also what we're capable of, that it's by this measure that we can empower ourselves to be able to withstand it? Kind of just what Sherry said about if we know that they don't actually have any legal standing, then that obviously is we've empowered ourselves with information to be able to know that we are, in the right, if you will. It doesn't matter even if they had legal standing, of course, you would still combat it and find some way kind of out of it. But ultimately, empowering ourselves with information and knowledge seems to be the key in this. What do you think?
Yes, I think the educating ourselves on all these various levels is going to be key. Because without knowledge, you are so doomed. We are so doomed when we do not have enough information, which, it seems the case when we say that information is kept from us. But I think also you have to be able to go in search of it. But at the same time, you might say, well, how do I go in search of something that I don't know what I don't have? So then there's that part of it. But in terms of, in just basic, just on a basic level, in terms of just your average person living life, I would say if your child has a little cold, a little fever, don't go running off to the doctor for medicine. Don't go running off for antibiotics for basic things. Like that. You don't go running to over-the-counter drugs to numb, the pain, as opposed to it doesn't stop the pain. The pain, all of that is still going on. But I say just start really examining the manner in which you operate, and then slowly, so it's not this huge mountain that you feel overwhelmed by having to do research. Start just being a little bit more investigative. In terms of what you could, going to a health food store, what can I give my child that's natural, meaning that it doesn't have, a bunch of artificial ingredients or chemicals, things you cannot identify, and using more natural ingredients, and there's lots of herbs and, you know, teas that you can use instead, and start operating that way. Go to your farmer's market, you know, instead, or to buy your food. If you don't have that, find a health food store that carries organic, you know, foods, or the farmer's market, even if it doesn't say organic. The one thing I know is those farmers, the certification is so pricey that a lot of them can't afford it.
Yeah.
But they don't use pesticides. Most of these farmers, they really don't. So it's like finding inexpensive routes. And if we do our research, we will discover, that's what I've discovered, that I can find anything I want. I just have to learn to do my research. And when I do my research, now I have a library of places that I go to get this thing and that thing. And then it doesn't seem so overwhelming anymore. Because now you're naturally working with this. And then you start feeling, wow, I feel better. You notice changes, you know, with your child as well.
There's your next book.
I was going to say as well, Sonia, that it's, and this is indicative of what we're dealing with here, that the government charges so much for certification of, you know, of organic and everything, and that the process here is horrendous for the farmers as well. I know of farmers who actually let people onto their farm to check out how they're doing things and how they're running it, and having, you know, an open farm, like, you know, a couple of days every year or something like that, to see that, all right, we don't use chemicals, we do in this way, but it's not certified, because we don't want to go crawling to the government to get their approval and their stamps and their people running all over the place here to you know, screw things up, basically. So it's about developing that trust, if you will, and a relationship with those people, if you're not, you know, capable of growing your own food, it kind of way. But that's the way to do it, right? You don't.
That is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what I do. I mean, yeah, I found a farmer's market here. I just found out my one lady that I love going to, and she is certified. They have heirloom corn. They have real corn, like real corn. I was just so excited. I couldn't believe it, because she says she wouldn't feed that other stuff to her kids either. And so you start finding these little nook and crannies, you know, spots where you go and you can get your real food.
Yeah. And also read, you know, if you're at the store, read the labels. Don't trust the box, because they you know, they've caught on to this, many of them. They use words like greens or natural or even organic. But if you actually turn things around and look and find out what the, you know, numerical things mean here in Europe, or, you know, in other countries as well. But that's really key that we need to find out. And, you know, that's why it's about connecting the dots and doing the research. And unfortunately, a lot of people are not prone to want to do that. But that's what's necessary. That's the only way out of this thing. Inform yourself.
Yeah.
And turn your yard into a garden or your balcony and grow some tomatoes. And once people taste the difference between a homegrown tomato and these excuses for tomatoes at the store, they'll never want to go back.
Yeah. Yeah. That is true. You know, you said as well earlier, Sonia, about, you know, how to find the information that we don't know about yet. But that's, you know, that's another level, I think, that if people begin to go on that path of discovery and wanting to know and kind of opening up that that door a little bit, there's some amazing things that will stream through that, and it will just appear and, you know, reveal yourself to it, and when you're ready and when you're asking for it, because that's another level too. We have to want it, right? It's not going to just fall into our lap automatically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is about a deeper process of discovery and you know, of that path that we're walking in our life, right?
Right. You have to. That's why the film, at the end of the little trailer, I said what I said, because it really is about coming to that space where you love yourself so much. And I think that's the other thing that's very key here. We have to understand what that means to love ourselves. And as a matter of fact, that's very associated with a lot of the breast cancer situations is self-love. A lot of giving out to everybody else, but not embracing and loving you. And when we start loving ourselves enough to find that we will take the time to find those things and to do those things that's best for us, that's right for us. Taking time to go out in nature, and just making all of these connections, taking time to prepare your food, and not everything being instantly processed for you. To me, that is loving and nurturing myself, and that spills over into then being able to care for your family and have something left over for you. Obviously, yeah. You're no good if you're, you know, not here.
Yeah, that's right. Well, people think it's something complicated as well, that it's got to be some very difficult scientific formula or, you know, something you have to put together or mm-hmm. a brew or something like that. When it's, you have to just get back to some of the most basic, fundamental, easiest ways about it. And I mean, so much of this seems to be, okay, there is materials and everything else. That's another factor, you know, from people's rugs, for Christ's sake, are toxic to the, you know, the clothes they wear and the bedspread that they sleep on, etc. But ultimately, I think a lot of this goes down to food, it seems like, Sonia. That's where the main crux of this thing is, that people eat bad. And, if, you know, this is consequently breaking down our immune system. We can't defend ourselves. And that's when we begin to attract disease.
Well, the food, absolutely. The food and the emotional part, they still go together. The food, yeah. Yes, you've got to eat well. But at the same time, you've got to become aware and just more cognizant about your life, the life you're living. I like to mention, you know, do you like your job? I mean, are you so miserable getting up every day going to work? Because that in itself will shut down your immune system too,
sure.
Because
yeah.
You are so stressed about the life that you're living that is going to affect your body. The relationship that is just horrendous on your mind and your being, and you go in nuts when, you know, when the person shows up. You have to start looking at all of it. It's a holistic approach. And the food certainly is going to assist you. But I just want to say this too real quickly. What I'm mentioning about lifestyle and about your happiness, how content you are, that makes a huge difference. If you were to feel good about yourself, you feel more up, life, you know, you feel lighter, you're in love with yourself, and you go and eat a Twinkie, it would affect you less than if you are distraught, depressed, at the lowest frequencies of emotion that you can think of, which means the body's got to be very low also, yeah. Frequency-wise. And then you add this non-food to it and ask a body that's already low in frequency in every which way possible to now process out these toxins.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. It builds up. So that's why that other part of this is extremely important, that we take time out for ourselves and really understand where real and true happiness comes from, not from trying to constantly comply with the protocols of the system and constantly comply with the success and failure program that has been set up in society. I think those are very, very key elements in healthy.
Very good. Sherry, anything to add here to the lifestyle, food, and then the emotional bit that we're talking about, stress and such?
Absolutely. I think what Sonia's talking about is know thyself. And a lot of people now don't know how to get there with all the commercials and oughts and shoulds and wear this to be that and whatever. So we have created another computer program, very easy, clicks of a button, and we based it on The Secret, because that great movie that came out that said you can have whatever you want, you just have to envision it. So many people didn't know what they wanted. They didn't know how to get to the foundation of what that movie was talking about. You know, what if it's the neighbor's wife? Well, the neighbor wants his wife. And, you know, who gets to play here, right? So you can talk to this little computer program and say, well, I want my neighbor's wife, and you can see if it causes harmony or disharmony in your voice. By the push of a button, it'll give you a little printout about what you're talking about. And one of the best things about this is you can take your vocal print, and there is a 2-hour little film about this, free. You can take your vocal print and then read this little passage, eat a banana, wait 10 minutes and read the passage again. And you can tell whether a banana is supportive or not to your body. So with this really simple little program, deceivingly simple little program, you can find out what's real for you and what brings you harmony and also what you're allergic to. Quick story. We had a lady come in, been married 11 years, husband was having an affair, the other woman was pregnant, and she was just devastated. She couldn't even hardly walk into the clinic. And she said, I just want to die. I want them to die. I want the baby to die. I want, you know, and you could see that it just narrowed down her voice into nothingness. I said, well, look what this does. It's actually detrimental to you. What do you think your neighbors would want you to do? What do you think Jesus would want you to do? What do you think God would want you to do? And she finally got it figured out. What balanced her right in front of her face in a graph was, I want to go to my church. I want to be with my friends. I need to get on with my life. It's not the baby's fault. I can't hate the baby. And it helped her find a path. And that's that part of that hope we were talking about, finding a way out of what's going on in your life and really getting to the foundation of who you are, and what you want. That one's on our site too, under downloads. It's called Nano Voice, Little Voice. And all the instructions are there, the film's there. It's all free for people because I think people have a right to know. And I think they have a right to get out from under all of these horrible things that are happening. We put up the radiation software. We put up bio diet because we think people are having trouble with weight, biohazards and chemtrails, the flu, tools to deal with 9/11, Parkinson's, pre-vaccination risk factors, PTSD, toxicity, allergies. All of those programs we're putting up on rotation for people just to come and get them and use them for themselves, their family, their community, in the hopes of providing solutions for their life.
Interesting. So these different voice analysis kind of thing, it's like a feedback tool as well, then, that you get kind of response on you know, what you've been doing or what you've changed to see if it's, you know, kind of pro or con. But it's very interesting. Why do you think that this works with our voice specifically? Is it, I mean, because again, then it kind of has this holographic approach to it, that it seems like whatever part of yourself that you're looking at, some people have been able to, you know, tell by the, you know, a facial kind of pattern. They recognize things that goes on in your face, in your ear, in your hand, you know, the bottom of your foot. There's all these different things that, and they all seem to kind of work because if they're based on the same holographic template, if you will, then it doesn't really matter what part you're looking at. But this is just another example in terms of the voice then, and that this is kind of a key, that it's in the voice, correct?
Yes, and it's not in the words, because you can be totally lying with your words, but the frequencies of your voice will tell the truth. And it scientifically, it's the recurrent laryngeal nerve that's in the parasympathetic nerve bundle that controls stasis in the body. So we're looking at that recurrent laryngeal nerve as it runs the vocal cords. But a simpler explanation is to think about a young man going through puberty. His voice changes in response to hormones. We just broke that code for everything.
Right. Interesting. So it's also then a way that you can kind of, you know, check basically if there's anything, you know, off in that regard, and you know, what you could do about it, or if there's something you can do to change in your approach, basically, to get yourself into a better shape, better path towards health. Correct.
Yes, the little nano voice is more about vocal range and your emotions, where these other things give you very specifics. You're poisoned with strontium, and this is what you should do about it, and this is a nutrient you should take, and this is how it affects your body. It's all sitting there waiting for people who want to take some self-responsibility.
So how did you, is curious about this, how did you identify the different, well, I mean, there's so many things here that you've broken down already, but let's say the different elements that, let's say that you're suffering from something, how did you manage to identify that frequency and identifying it with something in your voice? How did that work?
Trial and error in the beginning, and then we found a pattern based on genes, and a pattern based on toxins, and a pattern based on medications. So after the first few times of taking a medication and see how it changed your voice, then we could find the patterns.
And it does that so radically, because I mean, I know my voice changes depending on, you know, how much water I've been drinking one day, or, you know, stuff like that, even what I've been eating and stuff. It changes all the time. So does it manage to exclude all that and kind of look behind that, or how does that work?
it looks at what's there for the moment, and it's very topic specific. If you're talking about your first car or your first wife, it's probably going to be a little different. So looking at topic specific, my undergraduate degrees are in interpersonal communication, and I was really trying to find out how people talk and convey meaning with sound rather than words. So that's how that program came up.
Interesting. Do you think that exactly, it could be done not necessarily with words, then it's not what you say, but how you say it, correct?
Yes, and the frequencies behind it. And I think once upon a time, we all could do this and we could tell that people were lying or whatever, but we learned not to trust it because privacy was not a good thing for people who wanted to control you. They wanted to know whatever was going on, and they wanted to keep themselves private. You know, people could use this for any of the government leaders to see what was going on. We work with law enforcement in doing this. People work with their kids and how you want to be trained. I mean, there's so much that people can do with this, and it's just too valuable just to sell. It needs to be gotten to everyone so we can have a more open, honest, integral society.
All right. Well, so you're into this as well, Sonia. Obviously, with frequency, you talked about, I mean, there are others who've done kind of similar work in combating disease and everything else, like Royal Raymond Rife is one of them, but there's many others as well that have been looking at this in a very same way. But it all goes down to, you know, what is at the root of our existence, right? This is what it's at, and that the physical level to it, if you will, is not the only. It's more of the illusion, I guess, from this point of view. And there's something more kind of behind what we're seeing and what we're experiencing. We're kind of back to the Matrix analogy again, if you will.
Right, right. And I think what Sherry was talking about in the film, there's a gentleman named Brad Bartholomew who wrote Spiritual Genome. And he basically, the information that he's sharing about DNA connects with Sherry's work. And he says that in the film, because he's explaining even more how Sherry's work is at the DNA level, which I thought was very interesting because of the information that these Russian scientists discovered about DNA as a an actual language, and the fact that our language, you know, what our speaking actually comes from, originates from the DNA level. So I think that what Sherry is reading, the printout that comes, I think there's probably so much more that is embedded in there, because it is carrying all of the information, I think, at a core level that we cannot even imagine, because DNA is what it goes beyond time and space. I mean, it really is connected beyond time and space. So you figure through our voice pattern, there's all kinds of information that must be coming out, manifested, obviously, as sound.
Think about this, that we're bombarded with some poison or from a chemtrail or whatever. And if we have a couple people's vocal print, we can finish the antidote very quickly and put that out. And everybody is experiencing that antidote by sound in the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. By comparison, do you think, Sherry, that any of this is the knowledge of this is used at the opposite end of, you know, of our elite, if you will? I mean, obvious cases in this would be things that are, you know, atmospheric heaters or stuff like that, you know, that has a more powerful, you know, input of frequency and everything else that could, you know, change people's behavior. So we've heard anyway. What do you make of that?
I think that not everybody's the same and they would have a hard time doing it. But there is an article on our site. It's called If You Can Moan, You Can Tone. And it teaches people to listen to their own sounds from an internal space, and they won't need a thing I have. They can do it all on their own.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I think I'm trying to find this little quote here, but I can't really find it. Just this part where it says, there's a connection between the structure of the genetic code and the structure of every existing human language. But they were getting, I there's not enough time to even get into that. But regarding DNA, though, and I think that there's some profound information, some profound discoveries that are going to be unfolding even more and more and more in terms of, you know, the DNA aspect.
Well, people have already found, you know, codes and stuff in there, right? And they've found that the non-coding DNA, that's a whole other beast in itself, but that there's something to it, that even that there's also a reciprocal kind of relationship, if you will, with the DNA, that certain sounds and frequencies and even words and everything also reprograms the DNA, so it works the other way as well, Sonia.
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely. And that's the reason why we can reprogram our DNA. We can recode it. This is, you know, again, we've talked about it from a computer standpoint. And, you know, I think some people may get put off by it, but I think that we have to keep remembering that technology, we model everything off of our own design and our own structure in terms of the nature of reality, in terms of the universe. We're basically copying formulas without realizing that that's what we're doing in terms of the structure of everything else. So one has to really be open to that. It kind of leaves you speechless, though, you know, because it's it's so profound, so absolutely profound. And those that the powers that be, obviously they have their scientists and they're able to do all kinds of interesting research that then can be used in a way that can, you know, can control maybe on an individual level, because there's a uniqueness with each of us at a certain level. And then there are frequencies that can be put out that can impact everybody, but in different ways. My immune system, my ability to supersede those frequencies may be stronger or weaker than someone else.
That's the best part. It's very individual, and that's why they can't just make one sound and make everybody throw up. They can do it very loudly and make your ears hurt, but they can't. But they can't give you a specific brain wave range of a sound and make everybody do the same thing. It's too individual.
Right, like the LRAD, the long range acoustic devices that they've been using on people to, you know, crowd dispersal tools and everything else. Yeah, but they're definitely working on it. It's interesting too, though, about the origins of our language and how that emerged, both the spoken but also the written. And it seems that it was not part of human existence for the longest time. It's an intriguing invention, if you will. And sometimes I wonder if it's you know, all that good, Sonia, or if there's something else to it. But it's interesting, you know, kind of as you were alluding to, if there's something to that is more tied to our DNA, if you will, that there is an expression that we've kind of that goes hand in hand with DNA and our language, if you will. Fascinating.
Well, yeah, and I think language is so limiting. I'm limited just talking right now because there's so much I would like to say that I cannot put into words, in all honesty. But I think language is so limiting, and what we express doesn't even scratch the surface on the magnitude of what, you know, what is or what could be said in terms of any of the information we've talked about today, especially in terms of DNA and just how expansive we are, and the fact that it's like a black hole, and, you know, the fact that we're talking about going beyond time and space, and what kind of information is obviously being transmitted and received by us, because that's what we're doing. We're transmitters and receivers. So we're transmitting and receiving information that it just goes beyond anything that we can really imagine. Goes beyond our universe. It goes beyond. Now, what we actually receive on a conscious level, that's completely different, because I do believe that what is received consciously is going to be limited to where we are perceptually, where we are on that level of consciousness or awareness. So I think we're being fed lots of information. We get information from the sun. You know, obviously it transmits. We pick up what? We pick up the energy from the sun. There's information coded in it. There's information coded in everything. Everything is coded with information. But how much of that information, what degree of that information actually comes through to us is happening on different levels according to the individual. I strongly see that according to the individual. And we go back to belief systems. We go back to core beliefs. We go back to religious and spiritual beliefs. Those things create boundaries. We go back to social coding. And we find that there are boundaries that by which we operate and limit that kind of transmission intake. That could be more readily received. And that's what technology is. That's what science is discovering. That's what Sherry's work is picking up bigger pieces of this information that is accessible to us. And that's what we call discovering.
In olden times, they had something called a signature sound. And they called it that, and they gave people sounds to sing and to meditate to. And I used to say, I worked in the speech and hearing department. I used to say, there's a sound coming out of people's ears. And they told me, be quiet. There's no such thing. But John Hopkins University proved that there's a sound coming out of your ear. It's called an otoacoustic emission. But in this day and age, you can barely hear it from all the electricity and the fan in this room and the air conditioner and whatever. But I think those sounds coming out of your ears and coming in contact with other people's sounds is what provided us meaning. Now we come in contact with the words, not just their signature sound. And the words are lying and not coherent, so we decided we're not going to depend on it. And I can't prove all that, but I really think we've lost that art. And if it ever comes back to where we can be silent without electricity and without all this external noise, we may begin to culture that trait again till we can get back to the basics that we forgot.
Well, then, and real quickly, can I say this real quickly?
Sure.
Because what you said, Sherry, is so true about sound coming from our ear. And the reason why I got very excited about that is because I had been thinking about it for the longest while. Why? Because I noticed that when I hike, you notice the bugs tend to somehow get drawn to our ears. They tend to come to the, and I kept thinking there's got to be something that they're picking up, why they seem to gravitate to our ear, and we're constantly, you know, fanning them away. So I think that they're picking up, they're hearing whatever that frequency is, and they come towards it. I mean, they come towards your nostrils too, but I think the ear. So I do agree that there is definitely something to that.
Well, it's been proven with people who suffer from tinnitus that, you know, with the use of a phase reverser, they've managed to basically send a counter frequency into the ear to actually block it out so that people who suffer from it can get some relief from it. So, and I think that's just the, of course, the extreme version of that, because when you have tinnitus, you've, you know, broken, you know, so much of these little fine hairs in your ears that, you know, it becomes an increasing painful experience of having this constant, you know, frequency or noise in your ear. But yeah, I believe that's true for sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. Well, ladies, we're getting ready here to end for this time in a few minutes here. I just wanted to ask you if there's something else you'd like to mention here or give out at the end before we wrap things up for today. We can begin with you, Sherry.
I'd just like to say if people use these programs and whatever they find in their voice, there's nothing good, bad, right, or wrong. It's what you do with the information that's going to make a difference for you.
Very good. Give us the website again, Sherry, so people know where to go to follow you on a more regular basis.
SoundHealthOptions.com, and these programs are under downloads.
Very good. Let's switch over to you, Sonia.
Yes, I wanted to say that we are still open to donations. Trust me, we do need the funds because there's still so much that we are completing and, you know, really being funding this thing creatively. And there's a donation button on the businessofdisease.com on the right hand side. There's also other ways that you can sponsor. There's many sponsorship options. If you're a business, especially, you can always contact me. On the website, my contact information is there, Sonia Barr, S-O-N-I-A-B-A-R-R, at yahoo.com. If you just want to do a donation, any size donation would be extremely appreciated. We also have T-shirts that are amazing T-shirts, very high-quality T-shirts that say the business of disease, the cure is in the body, not in the business. That's what the T-shirts say. And so we'd love for you to, you know, support the film by purchasing that. And there's obviously other things. There are other options as well. And my website, spiritinform.com, you can go there. That helps to support the film as well. There's a store there, lots of products. And I also do consultation and coaching. So you can also contact me for that. All the information for that is on spiritinform.com. I publish a magazine. You can advertise in the magazine as well. It's called Reality Bridge. So on Spirit Inform, you can connect with the magazine or realitybridgemagazine.com. And yeah, I think I kind of covered it.
All right, very good. There we go. We'll have the links here that both mentioned up on the website. Thanks to both of you again for your time today. Good job on the film, of course, and what I've seen so far from it. Looking forward to seeing it once it's out, and we'll people have to keep an eye on the website, of course, for that final release date as it's going to come out. Sonia, that.
Oh yes, and that'll be, everybody will know when it's coming out for sure, and we'll let you know as well when it's out so you can spread the word.
Really good. Thanks, Sonia.
Thank you so much. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you. And thanks to you as well, Sherry, for joining us here today.
It's been great. Thanks for inviting me.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that rounds up our program for today. Something new to consider, I hope. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back with David Icke next. We have some great programs coming up after this also. I hope you have a great rest of your day or evening, and we will speak to you in just a few days. Take care. See you later.